Matthew 16:13. And the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, another Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, if you will, go to Matthew chapter 18. Again, we receive some instruction. If you have a Scofield Bible, above verse 15, it says, discipline in the future church. So we know that this portion of Scripture, not just because of that, but the context of it teaches us that this is instruction to the church. Verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Well, that's pretty powerful. You think about that. Let me read that again. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on anything as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Bible. It's just good to stand together and listen to the Bible read. Lord, thank you for these words. My goodness sakes, for most people in this room, we've read verses that are very familiar. They've read these scores of times. Lord, as they've personally read through the Bible, they've heard them preached probably many times. Lord, for some, these may be the first time, honestly, for some people in the room that they've ever heard these words read out loud. Lord, wherever we're at, we're blessed. It's not like they get old. It's not like we can just get to the point, Lord, where we've got all we can get and there's nothing new to learn. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to approach this, whether for the first time or for the 100th time, with fresh eyes and an open heart. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us as we continue to look at this subject of united prayer and the importance of it, Lord, and the promises connected with united prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Last Sunday night, I preached on the power of united prayer. This week, I want to preach on the promises of united prayer, the promises of united prayer. It's very interesting to me that the Lord coordinated this. I wish I could say I was smart enough to do all these things. I'm not. But I have been going in two different directions. I felt were different directions. On Wednesday night, I know the Lord directed my heart to preach several messages on the importance of praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then on Sunday nights, as we continue to preach quite a bit on prayer this year, We preached on united prayer, and it's amazing how these two subjects collide. These two subjects help each other. They support each other. You're not going to, and we're not going to be very good at our united prayer meetings if we don't understand the importance of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about him again tonight. If you want to learn to be effective in your prayer life, you need to develop, I mean that, we need to talk more than we do about the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He's very important in our lives. Don't let a handful of false doctrine that's being taught about the Holy Spirit rob you of the person and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. The Holy Spirit of God is a member of the triune God. He's important in our lives. He's that part of God that dwells within us once we're saved, securing us and sealing us to the day of redemption, but also there to perform many, many important functions in our life. And it's important that we have a good, sweet, open, honest relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to take a few minutes and I want to look, if you will, at verse number 19. I want to say a few words about binding and loosing tonight, but we're going to get into that a little bit later on. But I want to focus in on verse number 19 and 20, and I want to teach you a little bit about this matter of united prayer. Now, we said last Sunday night that if we're going to scripturally define united prayer, then we're talking about the church assembled, one place, the church united, one accord, the church agreed, one request. One place, one accord, one request. I believe that you can pray for more than one thing when you get together, but there needs to be an agreement about it, and we're going to see that again. That's an important word that's going to stand out again today. Now, in verse number 19, we see what I believe is the smallest. I like this. In verse number 19, he said, again, I say unto you that if, there's a number given there, that if, how many? Two of you. So as far as I can figure, the smallest united prayer group possible would be two. Does that make sense to you? And I think that's why that number's chosen. It doesn't do damage to the scripture if you say there's three or there's four or there's five. But God said, you know what, if you can just get two. And again, this is a portion of scripture that's dealing with the local New Testament church. So we know that this instruction is to the church. That if two of you, verily I say unto you, verse 19 again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall, and the next word I want to draw your attention to, the number two, that's the smallest united prayer group possible. Let me just share this with you men, that we've gotten broken up into prayer partners. That's you and your partner. That's you and your prayer partner. You and your prayer partner can grab verse number 19 and say, for the month we're going to pray together, let's agree on some things. Let's agree on some things between us, and let's pray about those things, and let's see God answer specific prayer, even within our own personal prayer group. That's why I encourage you, when you get together, share something, maybe one or two important requests, agree upon them, and pray. This matter of agreeing is important. Can I share this real quickly? We're not going to teach about this, but you know why we have the instruction in verse number 15 through 17 about church discipline and how to carry that out. Do you know why that instruction is what it is? Do you realize that if you're going to follow this formula for solving aughts between brothers, one of the things you have to do is you have to be able to find two or three brothers that agree enough with you to go to that person and approach the person about the aunt. Let me tell you about the safety of that. Sometimes we're so determined that we have an aunt against somebody, and we go there and we try to fix it, and that doesn't get fixed. So we go to if we follow the Bible pattern, we don't get on the phone and tell everybody in the church about our aunt. We don't go home and gripe. We don't do those things. If it's that important, then the Bible gives you instruction to approach two or three and go get them to go. Now, why is that important? It's not just so that you can get some reinforcements, go gang up on somebody. It's so that you share your aunt against that brother with two or three other Christians. Now, let me say this. They may look at you, and probably a lot of times this ought to happen, and say to you, listen to me, I can't go with you as a witness because what you are wanting to do here is petty. It's silly. You don't have a case. It's your immaturity that's driving this, not righteousness. Now, if you find two or three knuckleheads, and you still don't get your way, isn't it interesting what the Bible says? It said if they don't hear him, do what? Do what? Take them before the church. Do you realize what that means you have to do then? See, this isn't just a way to correct a brother that's done an ought. This is a way to make sure that you're not making a mountain out of a molehill. So if you're going to bring it for the church, that means you have to come see me. You know how much nonsense will be taken care of if we just followed this? Now, can I say this, folks? Listen, grow some thick skin. I mean, goodness sakes alive. Honestly, stop deciding you're going to be offended. There's folks, I'm convinced, I'm not saying in this church, but I've known them through the years, that I think every Sunday they come, they're just determined that somebody's going to offend them. They're not happy if they're happy. They're going to have something happen that they're going to have to spend a week griping about. Come on. All right, are you listening to me? And so I think that that's important. The reason I bring this up isn't that there's times when this formula should be followed and it should work. But what's important about this is the agreement thing. That's what I want to bring out. The agreement. You see, there's safety in agreement. Now, if you go and you... Now, let's carry that thought on down. If you go in verse number 19 and you say that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, what that does is this empowers you and helps you. If you're going to go to your prayer partner and say, let me ask you to pray with me about something. Listen, prayer partners, listen to me a second. And I want to pray about this. I'm going to ask that you help me to pray about this. And that prayer request is unscriptural. That prayer request is unwise, because that word agree is very important. It says agree, and that means to become completely in harmony with. To become in harmony with. You know, there's some things that somebody comes to me and says, I'd like you to pray about this. And I may not tell you anything other than this. Yes, I will. But just because I said I would pray about it don't mean me and you are praying the same thing. There's sometimes I can't get in harmony with you about praying about something. Some folks come to me and want me to pray about something, and I go home and say, Lord, I'm going to pray about this because they asked me to. Help them to see the foolishness of it. Help them to see how unwise it is. I'm not in harmony. I'm not agreeing with them. This means in harmony. Now let me share something with you. This isn't a magic formula where one person can find something that they shouldn't be praying about and convince somebody else the importance of it, and two people in harmony agree to pray about something that really is not wise or is unscriptural, and God is going to automatically say from him, well, two of them agreed, I'm backed in a corner. Now let me give you what this word agree means. This word agree is talking about two people getting in perfect harmony with each other. Now let me share with you the way to get in perfect harmony with each other and know that also it'll receive the blessing of God. Best way for me to illustrate this is, let's suppose, Keith, you play the violin. Let's suppose you have a friend that plays the violin and you decide that you want to tune your instruments together. Well, if you go to that person and say, sit down with me, I want you to tune your violin to my violin, they could tune your violin so that it perfectly matches in harmony your violin, but you could have, it's possible, unless yours was perfectly on, it's possible that all you've done is cause somebody else to get their violin out of tune. And a lot of times what we want to do is go to somebody and say, get in tune with me. Get in harmony with me on this. Join me on this. Now, the wisest thing to do is, if you have two people and you want to make sure that you are harmonious, you're matched, you're going to play a special together, you want to make sure that it sounds right, is for both of you not to rely on one or the other, but to go to an accurate third source. So let's say that you say, let's make sure we're in tune. I'll sit there, you sit there, we'll put somebody at the piano, and they will play the note, and we'll both get in tune to the piano. Now that's what this word means. The word doesn't mean two carnal Christians that have a beef against somebody, it's going to get together and agree on it and back God in a corner. What this is saying is two Christians that get in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. They agree with the Holy Spirit, and therefore they agree with each other. Now, this is interesting because in the next verse it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name." And I think that third one is there to let us know that the only way to get two people to agree right in the church is have them tune their agreeer to a third person, and that third person ought to be the Holy Spirit of God. So folks, I'm not interested in getting you to agree with me. I'm not really interested in trying to agree with you. I think we both ought to just see if we can get agree with the Holy Spirit of God. And you get in that kind of an agreement, you form that kind of a strong triangle, triune agreement, the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your heart, the Holy Spirit bearing witness to that other person's heart, you in harmony with each other, that makes a powerful prayer combination. And so I'm praying as we have our prayer partners that our men are learning this. I want you to learn this. I want you to get this. What's important isn't my prayer request. What is important is what the Holy Spirit wants me to pray about. And if I get in tune with what He wants, and I get somebody else in tune, and they say, "Well, let me see about this," and they get in tune, and they get the idea that this is of God, and this is important, and God wants this, and this is within His will. And then you go to the throne of grace with the accompanied power of the Holy Spirit of God empowering those prayer requests, I'm going to tell you something, some pretty incredible things happen. Now, Brother Jerry, how does two people agree on something, and how can God say if we agree on earth that we can go to the throne of grace and God in heaven is going to do what we say? Well, I'll tell you what we do, how we do that. You better run it through the member of the triune good God that's on in presence on the earth with us and in us. Does that make sense to you? And so I think so many times our approach of the scriptures in the prayer promises is we just want to kind of have this, you know, magic wand secret formula where anything we want, we get. You'll never find a verse like that in the scripture. You will not find that type of a verse. Now, when we're talking about united prayer, this is very exciting. We talk about the power of, we talked about it last week, and I'm not going to review all of that. But we see the words in this verse 19, we see the word two, which means it doesn't take a lot. It can be two people that agree. That means getting harmony, first of all, with the Holy Spirit over something, and then in harmony with each other. Then it says this, touching anything. And that's a very interesting little phrase there. If you've got the resources to do it, you'll have some fun studying it. But the word touching there means to thoroughly agree, thoroughly invest. It's talking about around and beyond and through. It's talking about in all aspects. You're on the same page. You're in agreement. You know what? There's no hesitancy. You are convinced that touching this thing, it's of God, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to bind our hearts together on it. It's a thorough agreement. And folks, a lot of times, let me give you this. A thorough agreement takes thorough knowledge about a prayer request. You know, this is why I think it's that God sometimes presents this where the smaller groups are important. You know, there are some things that I have to bind in agreement to pray about with individuals in this church that they've given me thorough knowledge of, and they have thorough knowledge of, but I can't share that thorough knowledge. Thank God we don't have to have 50. Thank God we don't have to have 25. Now, folks, listen, when there's times when your preacher will come to the pulpit and I'll say, "Folks, I can't give you a whole lot of details, but I just need you to pray about this." Would you just go ahead and do that and just thoroughly invest in that? But the honest truth is the ones that are going to come in complete agreement on it is going to be the ones that know what's going on. And so that's important, and that's good that from time to time, husband and wives, can I share this with you? You two are Christians, aren't you? Amen. You know, within your own home, within your own family unit, you have an incredible, powerful prayer resource. You know, it's important, husbands, that we be right with God. It's important that our wives be right with God. It's important that both of us be right with each other. You realize we can bind our hearts together and agree on something and pray and be in tune with the Holy Spirit, and we have increased power at the throne of grace. That's exciting. Now, if that's true with two, and that's true with three, how neat is it when we can at times say, and we have to at times, and we have at times here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and we will in the future, where a preacher comes to the pulpit and say, folks, I need to give you intimate details about something that's going on, and I need you to get in agreement with me and with God on this, and we need to go to prayer about this thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When those type of things happen, supernatural things are going to happen. Supernatural things are going to happen. I'm convinced of the power of united prayer. I think there's an untapped resource here within the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, let me go through the verse one more time. Let's hit the key words. Again, I say unto you that if two, that's the smallest united prayer group possible, if you shall agree, that means get in harmony, not just with two of you agreeing with each other, but you tuning yourselves to the Spirit of God. On earth, you know what? That's where we're at. But thank God that's where the Holy Spirit is too. As touching anything, that touching there is talking about a thorough knowledge, a thorough agreement. It holds the words around, beyond, and through. Every word that's associated with a intimate knowledge, you know you've committed fully to this. As touching anything that they shall ask. The word ask there means to plead or beg or to call for. It's not a casual one-time request. It's a commitment to pray. It's a commitment to plead. It's a commitment to do supplication before the throne of God. If we follow that, the Bible says, it's an amazing promise, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, what I wanted to talk to you tonight about was the promises connected with united prayer. There's an amazing promise here that we see. We seen in the book of Acts last week that was amazing things happen, miraculous things happen when we get folks that will agree, when we get that one accord, one assembly, one accord, one request, one place, one accord, one request. When you get that combination of things, man, I'm telling you, I get goosebumps when I talk about this. I don't know how to get you as excited as I'm excited about this. I think that Blessed Hope Baptist Church doesn't realize the power that we have right here in the church house. I don't think that you understand. Maybe you do. I really believe maybe some of you do. But folks, it is not a casual thing to just say, well, I think I'll just kind of, as best I can, sort of stay right with God. You realize we need to be on praying ground? You realize that if we all got focused in, and I'm not talking about perfection. If God only answered the prayer of perfect people, no, there nobody would ever get a prayer answered. But I'm talking about sincere people. I'm talking about confessed up. I'm talking about on praying ground and trying to live right and do right, not just living in known sin and participating in this. One assembly, one accord. You know why, Pastor Ross? I was listening to him for the years since 1994 and even before that. But since 1994, when I came in here as assistant pastor, till this month, 2005, July of 2005, you understand that this man, how many times he got up here and pleaded with the Church of Jesus Christ just to get along, just to stop having aughts, just to stop carrying bitterness, just to get right with each other. I'm convinced the devil's winning the battle and keeping the prayer power and the power of prayer and the promises of prayer from coming to full fruition in our lives, because if he can get you irritated or aggravated, or you say, well, Brother Jerry, I can't help it, they've done something. Well, have you followed the Bible formula for solving that ought? If you haven't, you're in much as disobedience as they are. Why don't you just admit it? You like having something to be mad about. And if you don't, then follow the Bible principles for getting it right. But don't sit around with oughts in the congregation that's undercutting the ability of this assembly to come with in one place, in one accord, with one request, and see God do miracles. This is going to shock you. But there's been people say mean things about me too since 1994 when I was here. I know that's just surprising. You thought you were the only one. I mean, some of you probably did it today at the dinner table. You know what? Big deal. It isn't worth me sacrificing the ability to get to the throne of God in power with my brethren over a bunch of nonsense. It's not worth it. I'm not going to live down in that goop. That's mind mire, what that is. That's mind muck. I'm not going to live down in that garbage. I'm not going to crawl around in that slop. Stop trying to pull me down in there with you. I don't want to be down in there. I want to live on higher ground. Man alive, I'm trying to see revival in this community. I want to see God do some remarkable things. There's people in this room, and there's family members of people in this room that desperately need miracles in their life. There's parents that are weeping and pleading over children that are wayward. I'm sorry, I wish I had time to sit down and talk to you about who said what about you last week. I really do. I'm so stinking sorry. But there's things that are a little bigger going on around here. Amen. Grow up. Get a view of what's going on. There's something bigger than me. There's something bigger than you going on. Who cares? You know, carnal people make carnal comments. Get over it. Consider the source. Smile. Say God bless them. Throw a prayer up for them. You know, lightning bolt. You know, flea of 1,000 camels infest their armpits. I don't care what you pray. Put it behind you and go on. Who cares? Man alive. Good night. If I had a dollar in the bank for every time somebody made a comment about me, I'd be a millionaire. And who cares? You know, can I say this too? Probably if you knew how many people say something nice about you, you'd be blessed. You know, we all do good. We all do bad. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. Probably some of the things that said ought to have been said. Well, I don't know if they ought to have been said, but they were probably true. So what? Are you with me on this? Are you listening? Man, I want to see God do something. You know what? This is true. We can actually fill a church house up with all kinds of different diverse personalities and still get along. And still unite together on the important things and pray to Almighty God and see God perform miracles within the congregation. I'm just convinced of it. I ask you to consider that, folks, honestly. Just learn to accept people for who they are. You know, everybody that's not like you doesn't make them bad. People have different personalities. They have different ways. They just have different ways. May not be your preference. May not be your agreement. But you can love them. If you just decide to, you can love them. And so thank God. Thank God for this prayer promise. Now, we've broken it down. What an amazing promise. Now, I want to spend tonight, and this is what I've decided to do. I'm going to do it in a timely fashion. But I want to give you some testimonials. I really do. I just want to spend this evening. I want to teach on that. I spent a little more time than I wanted to, but I just want to give you some testimonials. I've spent a lifetime involved with and in observation of United Prayer in the church house. And let me just say this to you. It works. It works. I want to give you testimonials tonight. I'm glad as a child, even back when we were saved in an American Baptist church, and then spent part of our training time in a Southern Baptist church, thank God we were still under preachers that believed in United Prayer. I grew up thinking it was normal to go to church and watch the congregation at times stop what they were doing, kneel together, and call out with united voice and ask God for specific things, and us see those things happen. I grew up watching that. I grew up. I hurt when I find out that there's churches that have on the sign Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting, but they don't have prayer meeting. Or they used to have that on the sign, and at some point the prayer meeting disappeared and it just became Wednesday night Bible study. I'm not saying Wednesday's the only time to have United Prayer. Well, maybe we ought to have Sunday morning United Prayer and Sunday night United Prayer. I'm just saying I grew up in churches where it was an unusual thing for God's people to be in one accord, in one place, with one request, lifting up their voices to God and watching God answer those prayers. I thank God that I had that childhood experience. That to me is normal. You know, sometimes it was weekly, as in our Wednesday night prayer request. Sometimes, and I've seen Pastor do this over the years, in building up to special meetings and revival meetings where he would say, folks, listen, in the next month, we're going to have extra scheduled times where the men can go to the room and the ladies can go to a different room and let's get together and let's pray and ask God. And you know what? I've participated in those things. I've been involved in those things. I've seen the results of those things. And I guarantee you what happened in those meetings would not have happened had we not prayed, had we not tapped into this formula. I just think it's a wrong thing. It's a wicked thing that in the average independent fundamental Baptist church, prayer and united prayer has just been scheduled right out. That it's odd and awkward for Christians just to say, let's get on our knees and pray about this. I'm hurt. I think that's hurting the cause of Christ. I'm ashamed that we're there. So let's look at this. I'm glad I was raised in that type of environment. When I went off to Bible college and trained in Bible college, one of the things that I was intimately involved with, along with the ministries that I was in, was this matter, participating in united prayer meetings. I went to Bible college at Hiles Anderson College up in Crown Point, Indiana. After when I was first went there, I was involved in a soul winning program called Fisherman's Club for 2 years. Part of Fisherman's Club was a time of united prayer. Part of Fisherman's Club was a trainer and trainee meeting together several times a week and binding things and loosing things, agreeing in harmony, asking God for specifics and watching God answer those prayers. I got involved in the bus ministry. And when I was in the bus ministry, I learned the routine. Here was the routine. You join the bus ministry, they put you in a bus division. That's just a segment or an organizational statement. It's just a grouping. And so many routes were in this division, so many routes were in this division. Well, when I joined the bus ministry, I showed up and they said, here's the schedule. Saturday morning at 6:30, we meet together. And we have a united prayer meeting. Then when we're finished, we go get breakfast. And we come back at 7:30. And we have our division meeting, an organizational meeting, and a preaching service. And then we head out and do our visitation. My normal schedule by the time I become a bus captain was 6:30 in the morning praying with the other bus workers. I would then go to the division meeting. I would drive up to Chicago. I'd wait for the bus to arrive and them to drop off our ladies. And me and our male workers and our lady workers, before we did anything else, would gather together. We would share the needs of the day. We'd talk about the young people that were starting to drift away. We'd talk about family members that we needed to see saved on our route. And we would kneel together and have a united prayer meeting before we went out and started knocking on doors. I would meet back and make sure that the ladies got on the bus and they'd give me any information that I needed. Us young men would stay up there for a little bit longer. Later on that evening, we'd gather together with other men from our division to a park or to a street corner. And the last thing we did before we left Chicago was to bind some things and to loose some things and to agree upon some things. Now, you know what? Folks from afar, let me just say this. I don't care whether or not you agree with everything First Baptist Church of Hammond does or not. I could care less. But when people from afar say, what is behind the miracles? Now you think about this. Some of you in Lyons go to Lyons. And some of the parents say, you want me to send my kids where? Well, go from Hammond to Chicago. How in the world? You know, people from afar say, well, you know, they have that big bus ministry because they give goldfish away. You know, they have that big bus ministry because they do that. Now listen, in the fall, we'd have 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks where they'd have special promotions. In the spring, 8 to 10 weeks where we have special promotion. But can I tell you something? There's a lot of time in between those things. And brother, I'm going to tell you right now, promotion never changed a life. Promotion might get somebody there, but it's not going to change a life. Let me tell you what changes lives. Prayer changes lives. Prayer changes lives. I'm talking about 8 o'clock night on a Saturday night in a park where there's 20 young Bible college students, men on their faces, crying out names, needing God to bind Satan in some, bind Satan and protect and build a hedge about some of our families and some of our kids who are being attacked, and watching God answer those prayers. Are you listening to me? Agreeing about some things, having the same heart, being in tune with the Holy Spirit of God, and getting on our faces and praying and seeing God answer those prayers. Sunday morning, go pick my bus up, go over and pick my lady workers, head to the route. I'm driving that bus, and as I look in the rearview mirror, lady workers on that bus in the back of the bus in a circle praying over the kids that had promised to come, praying for ones that didn't promise to come, praying for ones that said they weren't coming. You know how many times we pulled in front of a house of a kid that told us on Saturday, I'm not coming, and there he is standing on Sunday morning, and he'll get on the bus. I don't even know why I'm here. I do. Are you getting this? By the way, that's not just true of that bus ministry. That's true of this bus ministry. United prayer is an important, important part of everything that we do. I don't know what ministry you're in. It doesn't have to be the bus ministry. But if you don't have a time of united prayer with the workers and other people involved in that, you're missing out. Bus workers don't get on a bus, gather, and get ready to take off and not stop and have a time of united prayer. I was blessed this morning. I've been blessed on both sides here. I was running late getting in the auditorium this morning between Sunday school and church. And it was kind of disturbing. I ended up at the back of the ladies' line walking into the choir. That was a little bit disturbing, you know. Come all these ladies and Pastor Jerry pops out. You know, one of them looked back and said, oh, so they let you join the choir finally, huh? And I just kind of scattered to the front seat there. But I started to fly around the corner and get into the auditorium. The reason I was late, I'm going to tell you the reason I'm late. Okay, I've got an excuse, amen. I started to bust around that corner, and one of the ladies over on this side was leading the ladies in united prayer before they walked out and sang the special this morning. I've many times come around here and heard our men. Can I just say this? Let's incorporate prayer every single chance we get in everything that we do. Nursing home workers, meet all your workers out in the parking lot and have a united prayer meeting before you walk in. Or meet in the lobby and have a united prayer meeting before you start the going out and greeting. Listen, we've got to understand that God respects this. God encourages this, and God has attached some promises to it. On the way to the route Sunday morning, praying. On the night bus, after we've dropped everybody off, the bus captain sharing prayer requests and kids that are slipping and young people that are going astray and begging God. I'm talking about there's been nights when we drove all the way from Chicago back to the bus route on our knees, weeping and calling out names. Let me tell you something. It takes more than a goldfish for kids to end up on the mission field. It takes more than a blast off Sunday to get kids to end up as adults serving in church with their lives counting for Jesus Christ. It takes more than bus treats to get kids, bus kids that we, like we have, to end up in Bible college. It takes prayer. It takes prayer. It takes prayer. Now I'm going to ask you. I want you to think about this. And Pastor Jerry's not trying to fix anything. I don't know anything. But I'm going to tell you something. If you got a group of church members that you can get together with and gossip, you ought to trade that group in for a praying group. Amen. Matter of fact, the whole group ought to just have a revival. So you know what? All the time we've spent up to this point getting together somewhere and gossiping, let's turn that into an old-fashioned united prayer meeting, and let's watch God do something spectacular. That's what we need. When I took the youth group here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, again, I was pleased to be able to come back to a church where united prayer was the norm. Was the norm. I began to ask God to allow us to do some unusual things. And I'm thrilled. I look back with great memories. Many, many, many of you that are adults now were in the youth group when Pastor Jerry was the youth pastor here. And can I tell you something? You are my you're my crown of rejoicing. You're my joy. You know, I know we can sit around and talk about the tragedies, and I guess there's always going to be those as long as people have a free will to choose. But I think we ought to spend more time talking about the miracles. I mean, folks, listen to me. We begin to plan youth revivals, and I begin to watch teenagers get excited. Are you young people listening to me? You know what? You can't live on past glories of a former youth group. You got to decide that you're going to do something with the youth group that you have. But I burdened our kids, told our kids, you need to get a burden about this. You know, in 8 weeks we're going to have a youth revival, and we want to see young people saved. And man, I've watched our youth groups in the past take the initiative on this matter of united prayer. Not because I organized, not because I made them. I mean, if you're the youth pastor and a principal, those are conflicting interests sometimes. Sunday night, I tell them, you need to get together and pray. You need to get together and pray. And I walk into school on Monday, and I walk out there at lunchtime to decide, see what's going on, and just, you know, see who's throwing food and who needs to be yelled at, you know. And I walked in the cafeteria one day, building up to our youth revival, and I look over, and the whole area where our teenagers usually are, they're gone. Our whole high school and junior high are gone. That's scary when you're a principal, and you walk out, and the junior high and high school are gone. So I'm finding monitors, I'm finding teachers. What in the world's going on? Where's the teenagers? Well, Brother Jerry, they asked if they could miss the meal today. They asked if they could go pray. And I mean properly, I mean appropriately. I've walked over to a door, cracked a door open of a room, and listened to our young men crying out to God and asking God for a miracle, for souls to be saved, for a touch of revival in their lives. I've gone over to another room and cracked the door open and heard young ladies call out to God. Listen, we're either going to believe in this united prayer and see something happen, or we're not. It's got at some point not just come from the pulpit to the pew. It's got to be a common practice amongst God's people. Let's pray. Let's together get together and pray. I love to tell the story of the first missions trip that we took. And I know I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell you something. That was life-changing for this preacher, too. I took a handful of teenagers and loaded them up in two vans, and me and Brother Tim and Bertram and Sister Tina and my dear wife pulled out of this parking lot and headed to El Paso, Texas, and climbed on a bus in El Paso, Texas, and drove 6 or 8 hours into Mexico and slept on the floor of a church. And I'm going to tell you something. What I watched that week was a group of young people that figured it out, that decided that the only way, with the language barrier, with everything that we had going against us, with a satanic oppression, with the hatred of the Catholic Church against us being there, the only chance we had to see a miracle was to get together and pray. And they did, and we did. I've gone over to a bus during those outdoor meetings when the Spanish preachers was preaching and there was nothing we could do, and I've gone over to the bus and opened the door and listened to teenagers on their knees praying, begging God for a miracle. And folks, believe what you want to believe. I don't care. Before you just make pronouncements about how things can't happen and don't happen and are not real, why don't you go? Can I tell you something? Not every country is as hardened to the gospel as this country is. And you drive away from a village where the mass majority of the population came out, heard the gospel, and got on their knees and accepted Christ as their Savior, and it will change your life. It'll change your life. That doesn't happen because you offer to give somebody a John and Romans or serve cookies afterwards. That happens when people pray. When people pray. This year, and I'm going to finish up here, but this year I think there's been times when we've decided we're going to bind some things. That binding and loosing. Well, let me uncomplicate that for you. The word loosing there means to destroy, to scatter, to blow up, boom, in pieces. There's times when the church needs to decide that there's some things that need to be blown up. Sometimes there are things in the community. Most of the time, they're probably things in our own heart. Boom, just blow it up. I'd like to see some businesses closed in this community. The coffee shop down in Linton, owned by sodomites. Get on the website where people can give comments. Here's a gay man after he's visited that business. This is what he wrote on the comments as he rated the business. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. I am originally from this Bible-beating town in southern Indiana and think this coffee shop is a wonderful show of activity in this city of progress. I think it will allow new views and show how open-minded this city is. This will bring new businesses in along with people and their money. Yeah, let me tell you what kind of businesses and what kind of people. Finally, the town is waking up and smelling the coffee. Now notice this. The only thing that will stop, and he got in capital letters, progress in this town are the churches. They can act evil and will do anything to stop change and halt progress. These churches and their actions remind me of the movie Footloose with Kevin Bacon, and I have no idea what that movie's about. But that's the comments that he's written. I think we ought to just decide that we're going to loose this. I think the church ought to just decide to start praying until that business is out of business. You know, the church has the power to do that. Well, wait a minute. You got to be in one place. Wait a minute. You got to be in one accord. You got to be focused on the right things. Are you getting this? You see, when I went to Clay County, Indiana, and Northern Clay County in Brazil, and started a church back in 1987, one of the things that I realized that was a problem in that county was there was 11. You think about Clay County, Indiana, pretty rural Brazil, Clay City, the two main towns. There was 11 businesses that sold pornography. 11 businesses that sold pornography. I said, how do you know that? I researched it. I went around and looked. 11 businesses. I brought that list before the church, and I said, we need to pray. We need to wreak destruction. Folks, in 1 year, there was, out of 11, in 1 year, there was only two. By the way, one of them was an adult bookstore right off of 70 exit. They coincided the opening, or Satan did, the opening of that adult bookstore with the opening of Central Baptist Church. I just decided that that was kind of like open warfare. We decided we'd go to prayer. We put some feet to our prayers. Are you listening to me? I think the church needs to understand that God's given the church some amazing power through united prayer. There's some things that need to be loosed, and that word is talking about being destroyed. There's things that need to be bound, and that means protected. The church of Jesus Christ needs to pray a hedge of protection around some things, around some people. We have the power to do that. But wait a minute, you got to be in one place. You got to be in one accord. You got to be focused on the right things. Are you listening, church? What God's given us here in this portion of Scripture is amazing promises. This year we've bound some things. This year we've loosed some things. This year with the activity of the men in this church and the pastor's prayer team. By the way, I got the nicest note, and I want to read it. And I don't read every note. And young people, if you go home and write Pastor Jerry a note, I'm probably not going to read it from the pulpit. I'll just tell you. But got a note from Nick Burcham here a few weeks ago. Dear Pastor Jerry, thank you for being such a blessing and for helping me to be brave during my surgery and always being there for me. While I was writing this letter, I thought that I would write you a poem. You were always there when I needed prayer, and you showed me that you really cared. Love, Nick Burcham. Now let me tell you something. I believe that there's people right now sitting in this auditorium that would not be here if it was not for United Prayer. Nick, I'm sorry that you got hurt, buddy, but let me tell you this. You got hurt in the best place you could get hurt. If you're going to pick a spot to have an accident, Brother Bo, if you're going to have another seizure, just do it here. Man, I'm going to tell you what, you're covered. not only we have people that care and know a little bit about what they're doing, but more important to that, you instantly have the prayers of the United Assembly. And Nick, while I was tending to Nick and his dad was helping me and before the paramedics come, we were ringed. We were ringed by men praying. And they bound something on earth, and it was done in heaven. We put him in the ambulance not knowing what kind of damage was done to this young man. We put him in the ambulance and took him down there. The call went out, word of mouth and some phone calls, and pretty soon there was 15, 20 men down there in the emergency room. And they went off to a little side room. We got on our knees and we bound some things on earth and they were done in heaven. I'm convinced we saw divine intervention. Amen. I believe there's people right now in our congregation sitting here, and the doctors said right now they shouldn't be sitting here. Amen? But you see, doctors sometimes underestimate a United Assembly. Pray! Binding some things in heaven. I understand, folks, that it's appointed unto man once to die. I understand that we're not going to pray away death forever. But I think God still responds to prayer and the prayer of God's people. I think we've seen some miracles. Brother Tom, I think we saw some miracles in your family's life. Seen some miracles in your business. We've seen some miracles among some of our young people. Folks, listen to me. We're going to have young people struggle from time to time. I struggled when I was a teenager. Something tells me that you probably did some struggling when you were a teenager. Anybody want to say amen to that? Doesn't do a bit of good to gossip about it. Doesn't do a bit of good to talk about it. Doesn't do a bit of good to wag your head and cluck your tongue. Doesn't do a bit of good. God's people says, let's bind something. Let's bind something. Let's put a hedge of prayer protection. Let's fight back through prayer the attacks of Satan, the enemy. Let's do that. I talked to Brother Williams on the phone yesterday. I was coming back from making the hospital visit down in New Albany, and I got this call from Brother Williams, Brother Ron Williams at Hesaba House, and he's in tears on the phone saying, "Preacher, I need your people to pray." I said, "We are praying." I said, "We'll continue to pray." He said, "Preacher, they're pulling some diabolical things," and he shared some things with me, and I can't share everything. You know, I'm going to tell you something. The devil's so wicked. What you're going to see, folks, is an increased attack upon the ministries that are really doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's kind of like that deal where, are you going to wait until they kill and rob everybody on your street and come to your house before you decide you're going to do something about it, or are you going to do something about it? We need to do something about it before it gets here, not when it gets here, because it's coming. And there's times where ministries and men of God and missionaries, there's times when churches, preachers have called me and called other preachers and said, "There's a satanic attack going on against our church and the devil." I'm going to tell you, in the life of a church, from time to time, Satan will make an all-out bid to destroy that ministry and wipe it completely out. And when that's happening, it's time to bind some things. It's time for God's people to say, it's time to bind some things. It's time to access the promise that, hey, you know what? If you're still irritated about something that happened 2 years ago, back in the foyer, you ain't going to be much good when we need this. Excuse me. You're just not going to be much good when we need this. You know, if 12 years ago at a parent-teacher conference, you're still carrying around something, God help you. Wake up. There's something more important going on around here. Are you listening to me? Now, what I'm saying is this, folks. I wanted to spend tonight just giving you testimonials. There's more things we could talk about. But I believe 100% that the Church of Jesus Christ, if we get in one place and we get in one accord and we focus in on praying for the things that are important and the people that are undergoing satanic attacks and ask for revival and Holy Spirit fullness and miracles to happen, I just have enough Bible here that tells me that I believe with all my heart God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Brother Reiser sat up on the platform with me, and he said, Brother Jerry, we had three visitors this afternoon over at the chapel ministry. Three first-time visitors at the chapel ministry. Now, listen, if you don't have time to pray, then you don't have time to gossip. You don't have time to pray, then you don't have time to gripe. But you know why that's happening? Because there are a group of people in this church that are committed. Brother Reiser, if these teenagers want to see something happen, they're going to have to figure this thing out. And young people, if you want to laugh and cut up and kid, and I'm all for that, I like having a good time, but if that's all the bus ride there is about to you and you don't understand this, there's just some things you're never going to see. And you know what I like about this? It's on you. I'm not saying you don't have prayer support over here, but it's on you. You want to be able to come back and say, wow, there is no explanation of that. I've never been in a service like that. Man, did God show. If you want to say that on the ride home one of these days, you better be thinking of what you ought to do on the ride over. I've been pleased in my life to be in the presence of God, watching God do miracles, divine miracles in people's lives. I like that. And I think one of the pieces of the puzzle we've talked about tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll stir our hearts in this matter of united prayer. Lord, may families decide we're going to unite together to pray. May ministries decide we're going to find time to unite together and pray. Lord, may we be sensitive to the satanic attacks that may be going on in families or individuals in our congregation. Lord, may we rally around in prayer. God, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of those prayer warriors, that prayer army. Lord, wherever there's a need, I want to go to that need. Wherever there's an opportunity to gather, I want to gather. Where there's opportunities to pray, I want to pray. Lord, I want to exercise real Christianity. Not just talk about it, not just read about it in a book of something that happened 100 years ago. I want to see it today. Lord, I want to see it this week. I want to see it this month. I pray, Lord, that you'd hear and answer our prayers. Thank you, God, for being a God that loves us enough to hear our prayers. Thank you, Jesus, for opening heaven's door and giving us access to the throne of grace because of your shed blood and the power of your resurrection. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to grow more in this area of prayer. As a church family, help us to grow more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.